Basically, there are three views: premillennialism, amillennialism, and postmillennialism. Premillennialism says Christ is going to come back before the millennium. Amillennialism says there is no millennium. The church is spiritual Israel, and all the Old Testament prophecies are fulfilled in the church. Postmillennialism says that we are going to bring in the kingdom, that the church will bring in the period of paradise, and that at the end of that period, Jesus Christ will return to earth after the millennium to reign in this world. Premillennialism is the belief that Jesus Christ, who ascended into heaven bodily, gloriously, and visibly, will return in the same way to the same place, Jerusalem, and reign on a throne there for 1,000 years over all the earth. Premillennialism is very important, not just for prophecy, but how you interpret all of Scripture, because premillennialism is built on the idea that the Bible should be understood literally, the historical, grammatical method of understanding the Bible. If we don't take prophecy literally, why should we take the Gospels literally? If we don't take prophecy, the teaching about the end times literally, why should we take Genesis literally? In other words, premillennialists have a consistent way of interpreting the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Premillennialism is the pillar of prophecy. It's the major framework into which all of the other details of prophecy fit. It's the structure. It's the very basis of prophetic truth. Premillennialism is one of the most important, if not the most important, of all prophetic truths. It makes no sense to talk about which end of the tribulation that we're going to be raptured out of if we don't know which end of the millennium Christ is going to return to. So when we're talking about premillennialism, we're talking about one of the fundamentals of prophetic truth, the pillar of prophecy, the very framework into which all of this fits. Postmillennialism is the belief that Christ will return after the millennium. The main group supporting this view today are called Reconstructionists. Sometimes they're called Neo-Puritans or Theonomists. They believe that the church is going to bring in the millennium after we Christianize the world, then Christ is going to return and reign in this earth. I'd like to talk about some of the errors of postmillennialism. First of all, the postmillennialists of the Reconstructionist variety believe that we're still under the Old Testament law. And I'd like to read a couple passages of Scripture that tell us both in the Old Testament and the New Testament that Gentiles are not under the law of Moses. Psalm 147, verse 19 says, "He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation." The only nation in the world given the law of Moses was the nation of Israel. God never gave his law to any other people. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 14 in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says the same thing. And I read beginning at verse 14. "When the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things contained in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves." Now notice very carefully that phrase. When the Gentiles who do not have the law. What law? The law of Moses. Because he goes on to say they have a law written in their hearts, but they don't have the law of Moses. God never gave the law of Moses to the Gentiles, as the Reconstructionists say. Furthermore, in Romans chapter 6, and verse 14, the apostle says this, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." We are not under the law of Moses as believers. Only the Jews were given that law. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, there's a very clear passage that tells us that believers are not under the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. In chapter 3, and beginning with verse 7 of 2 Corinthians, we read, "But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious." Now, what was written on stones? The Ten Commandments. So Paul is talking about the Ten Commandments. Notice what he says, the last phrase of verse 7, "which glory was passing away." The Ten Commandments are passing away. Verse 10, the same thing. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, he's referring to the Ten Commandments as passing away. Verse 13 of the same chapter. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the end of what was passing away. And then in verse 14, the last phrase, because the veil is taken away in Christ, makes it very clear, contrary to the postmillennialists who are reconstructionists, that the Ten Commandments have passed away in Christ. In fact, the very next book, Galatians, the Apostle Paul says in chapter 3 that the law of Moses was a tutor, a schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ, and then when Christ came, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. In Paul's own words, Galatians 3:24, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. After faith has come, we are no longer under the law. Another very important verse is found in Hebrews 7:12. For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. Notice when there was a change in the Aaronic priesthood, there was also a change in the law. We are not under the Old Testament law. Verse 18 of the same chapter. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. The Old Testament law was annulled by Christ when he fulfilled it. The Reconstructionists say we're still under the Old Testament law of Moses. The Bible says very clearly we are not under law, we are under grace. The Old Testament law has been fulfilled in Christ. We now live under the law of Christ. The Reconstructionists who believe that Christ is going to come after the millennium and that we're still under the Old Testament law cannot find verses of Scripture to support this belief. On the contrary, the Bible is very clear that the law of Moses has passed away. That which was engraved in stones is gone, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us. Just because we're not under the law of Moses doesn't mean we have no law. The Bible makes it very clear that God has written a law in our hearts, Romans chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. The Bible makes it very clear that Christians live under the law of Christ. We do have a moral law. We do have a moral standard to live by, but it's not the standard that was given by Moses with the punishments and sanctions of the Old Testament. That was given only to Israel. It is true that the moral principles behind the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament. For example, 9 of the Ten Commandments are restated in the New Testament in a new context, now the context of grace. The one on the Sabbath is not, because Christ rose on Sunday. The Holy Spirit descended on Sunday. Christ appeared on Sunday and established this as the day of the new order. But the moral principles, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness. These moral principles are repeated in the New Testament, but not the way Moses gave them to Israel. For example, if you committed adultery in the Old Testament, you were stoned. In the New Testament, you were not stoned for committing adultery. You were excommunicated. So we don't have the law of Moses as it was given in the Old Testament. We have the moral principles behind that law restated in a new context of grace. Postmillennialist Reconstructionists, if someone commits adultery today, they should be stoned just like the Old Testament. In fact, there were over 20 capital punishments in the Old Testament. If you were a kidnapper, an adulterer, a fornicator, a homosexual, if you were a disobedient child, you were given capital punishment. If you were picking up sticks on the Sabbath, if you blasphemed, if you cursed your parents, all of these were capital crimes in the Old Testament under the law of Moses. You will not find one of those in the New Testament because we are living under grace, not under law. Let me mention some other reasons that Reconstructionism or postmillennialism is unbiblical. First of all, they allegorize prophecy. They spiritualize away much of the Bible. They take the Gospels literally, but they don't take prophecy literally. They're not consistent in their way of interpreting the Bible. Furthermore, they're overly optimistic. They believe that the church is going to bring in the millennium. Now, anyone who takes a realistic look at human history knows that the church is not going to bring in the millennium. Things are not getting better and better. They're waxing worse, just as the Apostle Paul told Timothy. Also, I think we have to recognize that there isn't going to be any kingdom until the king gets here. They have the kingdom, and then the king comes. We believe that the king must come before there's going to be a kingdom. Another problem with Reconstructionism is that they politicize the mission of the church. They confuse the gospel mandate, Matthew 28, with the creation mandate in Genesis 1:28. In the creation mandate, God said to subdue the world and have dominion over it. The gospel mandate says, take the message of the gospel, disciple all nations. These are not the same thing, and the Reconstructionists confuse those two. Another problem with Reconstructionism is they confuse Christian government with moral government. They assume that just because we have an obligation to promote moral government, that therefore we are to Christianize the world. Our obligation is not to Christianize the world through government. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us exactly what we should do with regard to government. Therefore, I exhort you, verse 1 says, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. We have an obligation to pray for and promote good government. What kind of government? Government that Christianizes the world? No. Government that promotes a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Another problem with Reconstructionism is that they confuse the spiritual or mystery form of the kingdom with the political or outward form of the kingdom. According to Matthew 13, there is a sense in which we are now living in the period of the kingdom of heaven. There is a spiritual kingdom that is going on in the world right now. Christ is, in some sense, reigning spiritually, but he is not reigning politically or outwardly. This is an inward mystery form of the kingdom that we live in now. And then Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come." There will be an outward political form of the kingdom in the future. And the Reconstructionists confuse those, and they bring the political form of the kingdom into the present rather than leaving the political form of the kingdom until Christ returns to reign on earth. Now, how does all of this relate to prophecy? The Reconstructionists believe that we are bringing in the millennium. That's why we have to have a Christian government. We have to Christianize the world. Bringing in the millennium depends upon us. Premillennialists, by contrast, believe that Christ is going to bring in the millennium, that we are to preach Christ in the whole world. Our obligation is not to bring all the world to Christ, it's to bring Christ to all the world. And when we do that under the gospel mandate and get the gospel into all the world, God in his own time will send his son back, and he will set up a kingdom and reign for 1,000 years. Now, I want to look next at the biblical basis for premillennialism as opposed to postmillennialism, which, as we've seen, has no biblical basis whatsoever. The last thing Jesus said before he left this world is there would be a kingdom restored for Israel. The disciples ask him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" In Acts chapter 1, and let me read it to you. "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." I will restore it. It is coming. But that's not for you to know when. Here's what I want you to do in the meantime. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Our obligation is to preach the gospel. God's obligation is to restore the kingdom to Israel. What is the biblical basis for premillennialism? It goes back, first of all, to the unconditional land promises that God gave to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7, we read, Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. What land? Well, the land is mentioned in verse 5, the land of Canaan. God gave to Abraham and to his literal descendants the land of Canaan. This is the basis for premillennialism, the belief that there will be a restored nation of Israel in the land of Canaan in the last days, and that the Messiah will come and set up a kingdom, and that the Jews will reign in that land, and that Jesus will reign over the entire world. Look in Genesis chapter 13, verse 15. For all the land which you see, I give to you and to your descendants forever. Notice the important word forever. Abraham and his literal descendants were given the land of Canaan forever. They've never had it forever, but they will have it. And if they don't have it, God Almighty broke an unconditional promise. And so premillennialism is built on the unconditional promise of God. If you can trust God when he makes an unconditional promise, you can trust that there is going to be a millennium someday. Furthermore, look in Genesis chapter 15, beginning at verse 7. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. That's the explicit purpose that I called you for, Abraham, to give you this land of Canaan to inherit it. Now notice in verse 18, on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates. He defines the border all the way from the Euphrates to the river in Egypt. That whole land is going to be given to Abraham and his descendants forever. That's the basis for premillennialism. If you can trust God, then you can believe that there's going to be a millennium and that Jesus Christ is going to return and reign over this piece of real estate that God gave to his people and promised that they would bring the Messiah into the world. Here's another verse where God says emphatically, I'm going to give you this land forever. Genesis 17, verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I will give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Repeatedly, God says, the entire piece of real estate, Iraq, southern Israel, the Sinai Peninsula, all the way up through Syria, Israel, and Jordan. That entire piece of real estate, God gave to Abraham and his descendants forever. The promise to give the people of Israel this land is as good as God is. He said, I'm going to be your God forever. You're going to have this land forever. If you can't trust that the children of Israel are going to get this land forever, you can't trust that God is going to be God forever. From Genesis to Revelation, God promised that there would be a restoration of his ancient people, the Jews, the descendants of Abraham, into the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan is the land of Palestine. That's Israel and Jordan and Syria, all of the land from Egypt to the Euphrates over where Iraq is. That entire piece of real estate God gave to Abraham and his descendants. And he said it not only in Genesis 12, Genesis 13, Genesis 15, but in Exodus chapter 3, when God called Moses, he said in verse 17, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of Canaan. God promised that to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. It's repeated here to Moses in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. He could swear by no higher than himself, and so he said, I swear by myself. This is an unconditional promise. I promise it to Abraham, and you will have it forever. Never in the history of the world have the Jewish people ever had that piece of real estate forever. They don't have that entire piece of real estate today. but they will have it. It's when Jesus Christ returns and sets up the millennium. This is called premillennialism. The millennium, this is called premillennialism.